Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we are learning Masechet Megillah. We are up to Daf Yud Gimel Amud Bet. That's 13b. Actually, we're going to do the last five words of 13a on the last line. That's where we're going to start with. We are continuing the Gemara's explication of the verses of the Megillah. We've been talking about Esther and her qualities, and we're going to continue to talk about that now. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar said, "My dichtiv, what is it that is written?" And this pasuk is from Iyov, chapter 36, verse 7, Perek Lamed Vav, Perek Zayin. And the pasuk says, "Lo yigra mitzadik einav." Hashem will not take away from a righteous person his eyes. And Rashi explains that to mean that because of a person's righteousness, they are deserving of a reward, and Hashem will make sure to give them that reward even if it takes a long time, and he'll keep his eye on that prize even if it takes many generations to give it. The continuation of the verse says, "V'yet melachim lakisei," and kings for the throne. "Vayoshivim," he will seat them, "lanetzach," forever, "vayigbahu," and he will lift them up. So we're going to discuss this whole verse, and in fact the next verse as well. So the Gemara explains what it means that Hashem will not will make sure to give a tzaddik his due reward, related to the Purim story. And it says, "Bischar tzniut shahitaba b'Rachel," because of the modesty that Rachel had, "zachta," she merited, "viyatza mimena Shaul," and she had as her descendant King Shaul. "Ubischar tzniut shaya bo b'Shaul," so part of the reward for Rachel is that as a modest person, she gave birth to a person who was also modest, or she had a descendant who was also modest. And because of Shaul's modesty, "zacha," he merited, "viyatzat mimenu Esther," that he had as a descendant Esther. Now this family lineage is not clearly explained in Tanakh. It is discussed in the Targum to Esther. Rashi mentions in the Targum of the Megillah, it says that Mordechai was 10 generations away from Shaul, and of course we learned earlier that Mordechai there's a machloket about it, but we in the end say that Mordechai comes from the tribe of Binyamin. So assuming that Esther is his direct relative, we can also connect Esther back through Shaul to Rachel. What is it exactly that was modest about Rachel? Dichtiv, as it is said, "Vayaged Yaakov l'Rachel," and Yaakov told Rachel, "ki achi aviyahu," that he was her uncle, that he was the brother of her father. The Gemara has a problem with this statement that he was her uncle. "V'chi achi aviyahu," was he really her uncle? "Vahalo ben achot aviyahu," he really was, they were really first cousins once removed. He was not really her uncle. He was her grand, he was a descendant of her grandfather's sister. So saying that he was her uncle was not precise. So how do we explain that? Ella, rather, Amar La, the story is that he said to her, "Minsabali," he proposed marriage to her. He said, "Marry me." He was in love with her. Amra Le, she said to him, "In, yes, I will marry you." So we see here in the Gemara that the attraction between Yaakov and Rachel was mutual. "Mihu," she said, "however, Abba Rama'ahu, my father is a trickster. V'lo yachotle," and you'll never be able to win in a battle of wits with him. He will take advantage of you. "Amar la," he said to her, "Achiv ana b'ramiyuta," I am his brother in deceit. In other words, I am equal to him. I can fool him as well as he can fool me. So it doesn't mean that they were biological brothers, but what he's saying is we are kindred in our ability to deceive. Yaakov was saying that he also was a skilled person in deceiving. And it's interesting because he already had a history of taking away Esau's birthright and his bracha. So I guess he felt that he had experience in deceit. Um, Amarla, Amrale, she said to him, Umi share litzadike lisaguye beramiuta. And is it permitted for a righteous man to increase his deceitfulness? It seems like not the kind of thing that a righteous man should do. You should practice truthfulness, not deceit. Amarla, he said to her, yes, it is permitted based on this verse, which is a little chronologically out of order. This hadn't happened yet. This is a verse from Shmuel Bet. It's part of Shirat Chana. Im Navar Titavar V'im Ikesh Titapal. With a scoundrel, you shall be like a scoundrel, and with a stubborn person, you shall be not straight. In other words, this advice is to say that you can't be allow yourself to be taken advantage of by a deceitful person. You should fight fire with fire. That is a tricky idea. You know, when and who should do this, and how do you know that you're doing it just so you're not taken advantage of by someone tricky like Lavan, and when you're allowing yourself to be not really honest. So I think on an ethical level, this is problematic. Even if we argue that Yaakov knew where the boundaries are, it doesn't mean that we should learn from Yaakov's advice to do this or to allow other people to do it. Amarla, so Yaakov says to Rachel, continues the conversation, Umay Ramiyuta, what is he likely to deceive me in? Like, how is he going to try to fool me? Amrale, she said to him, Itli Achta, I have a sister. We know that Leah was her older sister, Tekashisha Minai, who is older than I am, Velo Minsivli Mikama, and he will not marry me before her. So, and this is the story as we know it, that that Lavan said he would not marry his younger daughter before his older daughter. So Yaakov knew this was coming, and he didn't want to be fooled. So, and this is a very famous part of, this part of the story is very famous and well known. Masar la simanim. So he gave to Rachel special signs. We don't know exactly what these signs were, if they were hand signals, or if it was a certain code phrase, or if maybe it was something physical that she could show him, that he would know that it was her. Maybe Rachel and Leah, maybe they looked very similar to each other, and there was a certain mark on her cheek or her arm that he could look at and see that it was her. But they arranged for somehow a signal so that he could not be fooled by her sister. Kimata Lelia, when the night of their wedding arrived, Amra, she said, presumably to herself, Hashta michsefa achtai. She realized all of a sudden that my sister will be terribly embarrassed by my wedding. I'll get married, and she'll be the older sister that's unmarried, the spinster. She'll be terribly embarrassed. And Rachel had rachmanis on her sister, misartinu nihala. So she gave to her the signs so that she could fool Yaakov. Now, this is a very generous thing to do to one's sister, so she shouldn't be embarrassed, but it's kind of an iffy thing to do to one's husband who thinks that he's about to marry you, especially when he has especially given you signs so that he will not be fooled in this way. V'hainu dichtiv, this is what's written in the pasuk, v'yihi baboker v'hinehi Leah, and it was in the morning, and behold, it was Leah. So the Gemara asks me, Klal da ad hashta lav Leah hi? Are you telling me it wasn't Leah until the morning? All of a sudden in the morning it was Leah? Of course it was Leah the whole night before as well. Ella, rather, mitoch simanim shemasra Rachel leLeah, because of the signs that Rachel had given to Leah, lo havayada, Yaakov did not know, ad hashta, until now, that it was her. And this is why I think there must be that Rachel and Leah must have looked very similar to each other. You could argue that Yaakov didn't look that closely, but that seems like an odd argument to make, that with a special mark or symbol that Rachel had given Leah, it seemed like it was really her, especially if the two sisters could act like each other. Lefikach, therefore, zachta v'yatza mimena Shaul. That was what she did that was so modest, and because of that, she was merited to have Shaul be her descendant. Now, before we go on to asking the question, which the Gemara is going to ask, what was modest about Shaul, we do have to clarify what was modest about this behavior, because none of it seems particularly tsnu'ah. So there are couple of different answers, but I'll tell you what it looks like to me. It seems to me that the tzniut in Rachel here is that she didn't want to be chosen first. So she allowed her sister to get married first so that she was not the one that was chosen. She didn't want to advertise the fact that she was chosen, even though Yaakov loved her and she was the one that was going to get married first. She neglected that publicity of looking like she was the chosen one. And that makes sense to me as the what was tzanua about this based on the next couple of stories as well. Let's take a look at the next story. Umatzniut haita b'Shaul. What was modest about Shaul? Dichtiv, as it is written, V'etivar hamelucha lohi gidlo asher amar Shmuel. What's the next line there? This is in Shmuel Aleph, chapter Yod. And what happens is Shmuel has been told that he is going to become the king. And on his way back, he encounters his uncle. And he asks him what's going on, and he reports what's going on, but he does not mention that he is about to become the king. So that is clearly a similar kind of modesty that he was told that he was going to be the king, but he didn't advertise the fact that he was going to be the king, and that was his modesty. So then it says, Lefikach, therefore, Zacha v'yatzat mimenu Esther. He would merited that Esther should come from him. That was his reward for being modest about being chosen as the king. So the similarity between them is that Rachel was modest about being chosen as the first wife, and Shaul was modest about being chosen as the first king. Now we're going to now learn about what was modest about Esther. V'amar Rabbi Elazar. Well, actually, we're going to take a detour first, and then we'll talk about Esther. V'amar Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Elazar said, "K'shehakadosh Baruch Hu poseh gedula la'adam." Once Hashem, the Holy One, establishes that a certain person is going to be great, poseh libanav libnei vanav. He establishes that for his children and for his grandchildren, ad sof kol adoror, until all the other generations. Meaning, once Hashem is determined that the line of David is going to be the king's, it is hereditary. It's given to the whole line from his children and his grandchildren until all the generations. Shenemar, this is what the end of the verse means. Vayoshivim la-netzach, he establishes the kings forever. Vayigbahu, and he lifts them up. However, v'imhigis dato, but if he becomes arrogant, if any of the descendants become arrogant about the fact that they've been selected for greatness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashpilo, then Hashem throws them down. And this is the next verse in Eov. This whole thing began with a verse in Eov 36:7. And the next verse says, v'im asurim bazikim yilachdun b'chavle oni. And if they bind themselves in chains, they will be trapped in the pangs of suffering or poverty. So the Gemara quotes the first part of it, v'imasurim basikim, which it understands to mean that if they become arrogant, that Hashem, they will be caught in their own arrogance and Hashem will cast them back down into poverty. So that ends this section. The Gemara actually never does fully explain what it is that was modest about Esther, but we know that Esther used quite a bit of modesty in her own actions, and in particular, she did not advertise where she came from. And as we saw in the last recording, Ahasuerus badly wanted to know where she was from, but Esther never told him. And in other ways as well. That the next pasuk that the Gemara darshins is that Ma'amar Mordechai Esther Osa, and the word of Mordechai is what Esther did. In the beginning of the Megillah, whatever Mordechai told her to do, Esther did. Now, it's the Gemara is interested in the fact that it doesn't say Dvar Mordechai, or what Mordechai told her she did. It says Ma'amar Mordechai. It sounds very formal. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, said Rabbi Yirmiyah, Shahaita mar ed dam nidala chachamim. Rabbi Yirmiyah says that Esther was careful about her dam nida, her menstrual blood, and she would show any stains that she had to the rabbis in order to get a psak on them to see if she was a nida or not. And what it seems like is that this was Ma'amar Mordechai is the psak of Mordechai that she should do this. Some of the commentaries think that she showed it to Mordechai, which is possible, but as we'll see, the Gemara assumes that he was her husband. You can paskin on your wife for your wife, but it might have been made more sense for her to show it to another chacham. So maybe the Ma'amar Mordechai was just that she should be careful about Damnida even when she was taken into the king's palace. We'll see this topic come up again. It's a little bit curious or confusing halachically whether or not this is something she would have to continue to do. Okay, so the next verse, the continuation of the verse says, Kasher haita ve'omna ito, as it was when he was raising her. Amar Rabba bar Lema, Rabba the son of Lema says, Shahita umedet mecheko shel Achashverosh vitovelet v'yoshevet b'cheko shel Mordechai. That what it means that when he was raising her is that she would stand up from the bosom of Achashverosh, she would dip in the mikvah, and then she would go into the bosom of Mordechai. What this seems to suggest, and it's quite troubling and hard to understand, is that Esther remained married to Mordechai even when she was married to Achashverosh. She would go be intimate with Achashverosh. She would leave Achashverosh's chambers, go to the mikvah, and then go back home to her husband. And it seems like halachically this is a problem. You know, there's a lot of discussion about it. There's a long Tosfot on it in Sanhedrin Ayin Dalet about whether or not she can still be permissible to her husband even if she was sleeping with the king and she was married to the king, but the marriage to the king was not a real marriage, and as we'll see later, her intimate relationships with the king, she derived no benefit or pleasure from them, and yet nonetheless it seems odd that she would continue to act as a wife to Mordechai, especially it would seem like it would be a dangerous thing for her to do while still married to the king. But that is the teaching that we have here in this Gemara. I don't totally or fully understand it, but for further study to understand it more deeply. We'll stop here and we'll continue in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.